Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy 33. And starting in verse 27, the Word of God says, "The Eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you, and will say, 'Destroy.'" The Eternal God is your refuge. Sometimes it is very possible for the believer to try to take their refuge elsewhere. At work, many believers go through this in their employment. Many believers go through this in other things in their life. Perhaps somebody doesn't like the fact that they are a believer or that they have a testimony, and so something stirs up against them. The enemy stirs the atmosphere because he really doesn't like souls being taken out of his kingdom. He really doesn't like that the bride of Christ is being built. He really doesn't like the finished work. He really doesn't like the message of grace and nothing more. So sometimes things will be stirred up against you. But when they are, it is important that you remember, and I must do the same, that the Lord is our eternal refuge. That word refuge there is mehanao. And it's different than what I thought it would be when I first looked at this passage. At first I thought refuge was my protection. But it's far more than my protection. The word refuge there means dwelling place. The Lord, the eternal Lord, is my dwelling place. That means that my entire life is spent in the eternal Lord. And I live there. And this is why I am protected. And this is why I do have help. Because the Lord is my dwelling place. In Psalm 91 and verse 9, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." Get this. You have made Him to be your refuge. In other words, He is the focus. He is your meditation. He is where your heart lies. And in Him you rest. "And there shall no evil befall thee." No matter what is going on, when God is your dwelling place, no evil will befall you. "Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." I was talking with my wife the other day about some of the events that had taken place against me personally. And how those things can induce in a believer a sense of trepidation or concern, anxiety. But I remembered one thing. The Lord is my dwelling place and no evil can befall me. And so all I really needed to do was continue before God with what I had been doing that actually wound up getting me in trouble, but it was not wrong. But I continued doing before God what I knew was right. And the people who were against me, opposed to me, my enemies, if you will, God simply removed them. I didn't have to lift a finger. I had a lawyer say to me, "You should take these people to court. What they are doing is against federal law. It is religious discrimination." But I did not, because I knew that God would not have me do that. Sometimes it's right. I'm not saying that it's never right. Sometimes it certainly is right. But in my particular case, I knew that was not God's will. Instead, God put on my heart, "Simply continue. Stand fast. Trust me and simply continue. Don't look to the left or to the right." Why is it that we want to keep a straight gaze? Because when we look to the left or the right, we see the ugly faces. Right? We see the ugly faces, the ones that are threatening. But God says, "Don't be afraid of their countenance. The Lord is your dwelling place. Continue to dwell there, and it'll get resolved. You see, God is incredibly adept at protecting His children. I remember years ago, our first apartment in Baltimore City. It was a one-bedroom apartment. It was a row house split in half. Didn't even have a wall to separate. It just had stairs to separate. Dreadful. But it was close to church. Actually, that was our second apartment, come to think of it. The first one had no water. That was lovely. Thank God we live close to my parents. Imagine a year without a shower. So it was just a drive without a shower. But these people that lived before beneath us, we lived on the top floor, they lived beneath us. And they started calling the landlord because they didn't like the fact that they had neighbors. And they would lie to the landlord about us. And they would say that we had loud parties and things like that. Yeah, we were the party type. That we had large parties and all this stuff. Had people over that were rude and nasty and all these things. And they were like ridiculous lies to the landlord. And the landlord didn't even speak to us. She evicted him. She evicted him. She didn't ask us about it. She just picked up the phone and called and said, "Hey, this guy's really complaining a lot." She called his previous landlord. "This guy's really complaining a lot. Like, what was his story when you were here?" Yeah, the same thing here. She evicted him. Why? The Lord is your refuge and He will take care of your circumstance. Whether it is great or it is small, it doesn't really much matter. It's all small to God. I mean, God holds my atoms together. He created the heavens and the earth. Tell me, which situation is tricky for Him? It's all small to God. I mean, He does not even have to move a finger to resolve the problem. He simply thinks the thought and the problem is resolved. It's all small to God. The Lord is my refuge. He is my dwelling place. And because you have made Him your habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. He'll give His angels charge over you. He will give them responsibility for you. Most scholars say everybody has at least one angel. Many scholars say that everybody has two angels. I believe they have two. Pastor Stevens believes that also, a ministering angel and a warring angel. Well, He'll give those angels charge over your life. And they'll have to take care of you in the details of your life. You go about your daily business and maybe you're messing it all up, but they can't go away. They have been given charge over you. And protecting you sometimes even against yourself or against perhaps other people or other circumstances, keeping you safe and keeping you protected unless God has a specific purpose for a specific type of trial. That's their job. I'll never forget one time in the same apartment we had a neighbor, a new neighbor. This was our third neighbor in that apartment. One of them was great, the person from church. But two of them weren't so hot. This woman had a big collie and it was infested with fleas. And we had no wall up. And so our apartment got infested with fleas from this collie. We didn't even have any pets. And she had this collie and we get this infestation of fleas and we call the landlord and say, "Hey, we got, you know, this." The lady moved out and the fleas stayed. It's like they liked the apartment, she didn't. And so I called the landlord and she said, "Okay, we'll have to get an exterminator to fumigate the place." And fortunately for us, we're going to the European conference. She had fumigated the place and then we came back and I was working on a slideshow for the church and we were staying at my wife's parents for a few days, but I was working on a slideshow, had it all laid out at home, and so I thought, okay, I'll just open up all the windows and I'll work a while. I got very sick and I got a wicked headache, so I thought I'll lay down for a little while. I couldn't smell anything. You can't smell this stuff after a while. And so I didn't smell it. It didn't really occur to me that the poisons are still there in the air. And so I got a terrible headache, lay down for a little while, and in the dead of a sleep, I'm convinced that this is what it was, but someone did, and I'm sure it was my angel. He said, "Get up." He said, "Mike, get up." And I was surprised. He said, "Get up now." So the guy said, "Get out." So I got on the landing of the stairs, and I started to put on my shoes, and he said, "No, get all the way out." And so I got out of the house, and on the porch, and I put on my shoes, and then I realized I was very sick. And I looked in the mirror in my car, I was milk white, and I was very sick. And so I drove to my in-laws, and I slept for the next couple of days while this stuff got out of my system. You see, it gives the angels charge over you. It is their job. Do you realize how unbelievably well protected you are as a believer? There is absolutely nothing that can come into your life, not on purpose, not by accident, that God did not permit. And sometimes He'll permit things because you want them. He'll honor your free volition. That's His permissive will. It's not His perfect will. And sometimes because of my free volition, I'll fail. And it's His permissive will because He will not violate my free volition. But He will protect me the entire time. God is very good about protecting His children. He takes care of them. Years ago, my wife was working, and she was working the night shift. And she had laid down during a break. She just kind of laid down a little, put her head on her desk and her arm, or on a table or some kind of a surface, and her head on her arm and her arm stretched out. And a co-worker, who was an unclean man, came and very sensually touched her arm. It was not like a friendly gesture. You know how a friend might just pat you on the shoulder or put an arm, hand on your arm as a friendly gesture. This was not that. She said it shot right through her. The next day, the guy came in. That arm that he touched with, his whole arm was broken in three places. God gives His angels charge over you. He takes it very seriously if someone should happen to come against you in any way. He gives His angels charge over you. He won't drop you. You're in His everlasting arms. There's nothing that can come against you. No weapon can prosper. Why? Because you're in His arms and He gives angels charge over you. You're living in Him. He is your habitation. He is your dwelling place. In Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him in his hand. What does it mean to fall? If the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, who is the good man? The believer, the one who has God's righteousness. If his steps are ordered by the Lord, what does it mean to fall? That means he stopped walking in the steps and he fell down. That's what it means. But the steps are still ordered. Just because my steps may be ordered does not mean that I cannot fall. I mean, I can be on a sidewalk or a path and trip and fall down. And this is what usually is sin. But my steps are still ordered. I just fell down. But when I do fall down, I will not be utterly cast out. Because He upholds me in His hand. Why? Because His everlasting arms are beneath me. So my worst mistake, and I fall into God's hands. In Psalm 136 and verse 23, God knows what it is like for a man to fall. He knows why we fall. He knows what we are made of. He knows our weaknesses and our strengths. And He said that He remembers our low estate. And His mercy endures forever. He knows what we are made of in Psalm 103:14. He knows our frame and He remembers that we are dust. He remembers what He made us out of. Hey guys, when you get into that tough spot, God remembers what you're made of. And He's not going to let anything happen to you that you cannot handle. It may stretch your capacity, but it will not be beyond you. You get that? He might stretch your capacity, but He will allow nothing to take you beyond what you are able. He knows what you're made of. He knows what's in your heart. And Psalm 136, verse 24, "And He redeems you from your enemies, because His mercy endures forever." It's about His mercy. That's why His arms are beneath me, because He is merciful. That's why He won't let me be utterly cast down, because He's merciful. And He remembers who I am. And He knows what I am like. In Psalm 91 and verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and I will trust in Him. He's my dwelling place, He is my protection, and I'll trust in Him. He's the place where I find rest. He is the place where I find hope. He's the place where I find peace. He's the place where I find a provision. He's the place where I find my friendships. He's the place where I find everything that I need for my life. And He protects me there. And I'll trust Him. Because He protects me." In Proverbs 14:26, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." You know those people who are least trust God? You know those people who never can really, really have faith in the face of the impossible? Do you know one of the reasons for that? They don't really reverence God. They don't really think He is able as He says He is. They don't really reverence God. "But in the fear of the Lord is my confidence." When I reverence God, I reverence who He is. And I reverence His abilities toward me. And I have pure, complete confidence that as He says, He will do. And that's all I need for my life. Because I reverence Him. In Romans 14:4, "I stand before Him, and even if I do make a mistake, He catches me and He makes me stand again." So even in my mistakes, I am not abandoned by God. He catches me and I stand again. And finally, in Psalm 138:8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of Thine own hands." Like, what is it in your life that is your concern? What is it about your life that is your concern? God will perfect it. He may not take it in the direction that your natural thinking thought it would go. Rarely does He do that. But He will make it perfect. He will make it perfect. I don't know my own steps. They're ordered by God. But He perfects them. And those things that concerned me, He takes care of it. Because His mercy endures forever. And I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be anxious or worried. I don't have to doubt or anything like that. I just live in my Savior. I live in a consciousness and awareness of who He is. And I trust Him because I revere who He is. And He simply perfects. He brings it to completion and He takes care of it. I don't have to strive. I don't have to do anything. He just takes care of it because He's God. Amen.